If you saw me on the street, he said into the microphone after the applause had died out, you'd say, there goes a weirdo freak doper, and you'd feel aversion and walk away. Silence. I don't look like you, he said. I can't afford to. My life depends on it. Actually, he did not look that different from them, and anyhow, he would have worn what he wore daily anyhow, job or not, life or not. He liked what he wore. But what he was saying had, by and large, been written by others and put before him to memorize. He could depart some, but they all had a standard format they used. Introduced a couple of years ago by a gung-ho division chief, it had by now become writ. He waited while that sank in. I'm not going to tell you first, he said, what I am attempting to do as an undercover officer engaged in tracking down dealers and most of all the source of their illegal drugs in the streets of our cities and corridors of our schools here in Orange County. I am going to tell you, he paused as they had trained him to do in PR class at the academy, what I am afraid of, he finished. That gaffed them. They had become all eyes. What I fear, he said, night and day is that our children, your children and my children. Again he paused. I have two, he said. Then extra quietly, little ones, very little. And then he raised his voice emphatically. But not too little to be addicted, calculatedly addicted for profit by those who would destroy this society. Another pause. We do not know as yet, he continued presently more calmly, specifically who these men, or rather animals, are who prey on our young, as if in a wild jungle abroad, as in some foreign country, not ours. The identity of the purveyors of the poisons concocted of brain-destructive filth, shot daily, orally taken daily, smoked daily by several million men and women, or rather that were once men and women, is gradually being unraveled. But finally we will, before God, know for sure. A voice from the audience. Sock it to 'em! Another voice, equally enthusiastic. Get the commies! Applause and reprise severally. Robert Arctor halted, stared at them, at the straits in their fat suits, their fat ties, their fat shoes, and he thought, Substance D can't destroy their brains. They have none. Tell it like it is! A slightly less emphatic voice called up, a woman's voice. Searching, Arctor made out a middle-aged lady, not so fat, her hands clasped anxiously. Each day, Fred, Robert Arctor, whatever, said, this disease takes its toll of us. By the end of each passing day, the flow of profits, and where they go, we... He broke off. For the life of him, he could not dredge up the rest of the sentence, even though he had repeated it a million times, both in class and at previous lectures. All in the large room had fallen silent. Well, he said, it isn't the profits, anyhow. It's something else, what you see happen. They didn't notice any difference, he noticed, even though he had dropped the prepared speech and was wandering on by himself without help from the PR boys back at the Orange County Civic Center. What difference, anyhow, he thought. So what? What really do they know or care? The straits, he thought, live in their fortified huge apartment complexes guarded by their guards, ready to open fire on any and every doper who scales the wall with an empty pillowcase to rip off their piano and electric clock and razor and stereo that they haven't paid for anyhow, so he can get his fix, get the shit that if he doesn't, he maybe dies, outright flat-out dies of the pain and shock of withdrawal. But, he thought, when you're living inside looking safely out and your wall is electrified and your guard is armed, why think about that?